Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Solasko. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the total world of health, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplementation. If there's something new, or even maybe a little bit old, I look at the science behind it and let you know whether it's real or not. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. It's time to get serious on this Straight Talk on Health podcast. This one is about advanced directives. What is an advanced directive? Why should you have one? What's involved? It all begins with a question, or rather a series of questions. What kind of medical care would you want if you were too ill or hurt to express your wishes? Who would you want to make those decisions if you couldn't? Advanced directives are legal documents that allow you to spell out your decisions about end-of-life care ahead of time. They give you a way to tell your wishes to family, friends, and healthcare professionals and to avoid confusion later on. There are generally two parts to an advanced directive. The first is called a living will. That explains which treatments you want if you are dying or permanently unconscious. Don't think that this is just something for your grandparents or parents. Think, what if you had an accident that rendered you unable to make decisions? A living will tells you whether you will accept or refuse medical care. Well, what are some situations that can arise? You might want to include instructions on the use of breathing or dialysis machines. Instructions on whether you want to be resuscitated if your breathing or your heartbeat stops. Do you want them to perform CPR on you? Do you want them to use a defibrillator to start your heart? Instructions on tube or IV feeding. Do you want to be fed artificially through a feeding tube? If so, for how long? Do you want IV for fluids? If so, for how long? Do you want comfort care? The actual terms are palliative care and hospice. A hospice is intended to provide comfort to you and your family during life-threatening illness. Hospice does not treat the disease in an attempt to cure it. My mother-in-law was in hospice for a week before she died. They were wonderful to her and followed up with all of us to see how we were dealing with her passing. Palliative care is similar but is offered with any other treatment you might be getting. The goal for both is to keep you comfortable. Now, for many in this position, that means to keep you as pain-free as is possible. Do you want your organs or tissue donated when you die? Maybe you wouldn't mind being kept in a decomposition farm. That's how forensic scientists learn about how the body decomposes under various conditions. Tough questions, aren't they? That's why it's important for you to decide in advance. Now, understand, your decisions about how to handle any of these situations could be different at age 40 than at age 85. Or they could be different if you have an incurable condition as opposed to being generally healthy. And you always have the right to change your decision as you get older or your health changes. The second part of the advanced directive is a durable power of attorney for healthcare. The document names the person who will be your healthcare proxy. Your proxy is someone you trust to make health decisions for you if you are unable to do so. An advanced directive allows you to provide instructions for these types of situations and then to change the instructions as you get older or if your viewpoint changes. That's what an advanced directive is all about. Let me give you a few examples that I've encountered both personally and in observation. My first experience was with my mother. She died from lung cancer after smoking for 44 years. At the time, I was in my early 40s. My mother insisted that I become her healthcare proxy. Those things were not talked about like they are today, and I wasn't sure all that was involved, but I agreed. Now, her wish was that she have no extraordinary efforts to keep her alive if she had a terminal disease. And as it turned out, it was my first experience with palliative care as well. Her lung cancer was inoperable. She got radiation, which shrunk the original tumor. But as it turned out, the cancer had spread to the nerves of her spinal cord. She was in severe pain. so they implanted a morphine pump and that controlled the pain. But it wasn't pleasant. Some people can't handle morphine. She had all types of delusions. But it wasn't long until she was unconscious all the time. And that's the time for decisions, and I had to make them. Feeding tube, IV for fluids. She had said no, and in spite of what I might have wanted to do, she did not get them. She died a few weeks later. Why did she insist on the healthcare proxy? Because she had witnessed what had gone on with other family members. Those without a healthcare proxy and happen to have many children would have terrible fights over what to do. Some would never talk with others again, and she didn't want that to happen. The next time came up when my in-laws moved in with us in Grand Rapids. Paula felt that because they were getting up in years, with at least Mom having several health problems, we should all get advanced directives. So we did. I can remember several pages of questions that outlined many scenarios. Would you want X treatment if this happened? How long would you want the treatment? On and on and on. Then we all sat down with the lawyer, one at a time, to be sure that those were our wishes, and we signed them in front of outside witnesses. We also designated our healthcare proxies. Because Paula and I traveled a lot at that time, there was always the possibility that we could be in an accident together. So our first choice was each other, naturally, but we both chose our son Matthew second if something happened to both of us. We've talked with him extensively about what we would and would not want. He understands our wishes, and if the occasion should arise, we'll do them. Have we needed them? Yeah, for my mother-in-law. She developed Alzheimer's disease. The initial problem was that she had a severe reaction to a statin, and it caused massive muscle damage. She never regained the use of her legs again. But she lived in a nursing home for a couple of years, and honestly, until the last 2 weeks, were the best I've ever seen her. She loved it there, loved the people, and they loved her. Dad used to visit every day. It was great, although not ideal. But the staff and medical director had us come to a meeting. They were concerned that she was not eating well and recommended hospice care. Well, that meant they thought she was going to die, right? Well, not all the time. Sometimes the extra attention can help a person recover. Not in this case. It wasn't more than 2 weeks later that she went downhill fast. She had lunch with the table of women she always ate lunch with, and by nightfall was in a coma. She died 5 days later. They made her comfortable with painkillers, but no feeding tube or IV. That was what she wanted, and that's what Paula told them to do. I've explained the advance directive and my experience with them. The reason is that you want to have the discussion with your parents, your spouse, and your children about getting an advance directive. Not a happy time discussion. People want to avoid it at all costs, but you should follow through and get the advance directive done properly and legally. Now, you can't imagine the problems that can occur if something dire happens and you haven't done it. My daughter-in-law is a respiratory therapist and has had to turn off breathing machines and has witnessed those fights firsthand. But mostly, if someone has a healthcare proxy, you're doing what the person wants and they're doing exactly what you want. Make sure that your lawyer has a copy as well as your healthcare proxy. Every time you go into the hospital, even for outpatient surgery, file a copy when you check in. They will ask you for it anyway if it's like the hospital systems here in Grand Rapids. That's it for now because I'm all out of time. And this is Dr. Chet Zelasko saying, health is a choice, people. Choose wisely today and everywhere.